Ken Toll joins us from Jackson County United Way. Ken, appreciate the visit.
Good morning, Greg. Great to talk to you.
Looked like we were bouncing back here a couple weeks ago, but maybe, I don't know, maybe back too quickly. What are you seeing?
Well, so far in Jackson County, we're not looking too bad, but there sure is a lot of red lines going up all over the country, so we're nervous that it'll creep back into the county. And we continue to encourage people to wear masks and practice social distancing and be careful, because we're sure not out of the woods yet. But so far in Jackson, things seem to be pretty stable from where I can see.
Uh-huh. You guys have kind of led the kind of the COVID initiative here, and give us an update on how the COVID fund has gone and where it stands, Ken.
Sure. Yeah, the fund is doing great. Our partnership with the Jackson Community Foundation continues. We've raised almost $400,000. We're at $387,349.17.
Wow.
Every penny counts. Yeah, that number keeps growing, even though we haven't pushed the fund really hard. And we've spent more than two-thirds of that on basic needs procurement and grants to individual organizations. This week, we just made a grant to Big Brothers Big Sisters for operating expenses. And we funded the Clinical Community Linkages Project, which is a really cool project that's got some technology that helps people understand what their social determinant needs are, whether they need help in housing or clinical help or whatever, and then actually refers them directly to programs. It's really neat technology we built and piloted several months ago with a big collaboration, and we're actually going to make that live for self-service. So anybody will soon be able to go to a website, answer a few questions, and say, here's a bunch of programs that could help. Feel free to access them. So the COVID Relief Fund is really done some wonderful things, but we are looking at winding it down as long as the virus doesn't come back. Both the emergency or the incident command crew and the Jackson COVID Action Network that both put a pause on our meeting schedule.
Uh-huh.
We've got our plans in place. We're ready if the virus does come back. But as long as it doesn't, we don't need to keep talking and meeting because the plans are all good. So it does feel like unless it comes back, we're through the worst of it. And it's really great to know. But of course, that just means we have to focus on the recovery and rebuilding, because we still know there's a lot of folks without jobs and a lot of folks who have a lot of bills to catch up on coming due soon.
Yeah, don't wind down too quickly now.
Nope. It's hard to know what the future is bringing, but we're being as careful as we can. Fortunately, we've got a lot of good minds thinking about this. As always, United Way has a lot of volunteers and a lot of good brain power, and I think we're making the best moves we can. It has been a busy time, though. 2 weeks ago, we made our program investment awards for the coming year, and
yep,
we announced new to 24 programs. We're still supporting great work from things like the Child Care Network Scholarship Program, the Family Counseling at Family Service and Children's Aid and Catholic Charities, the Aware's Domestic Violence Work, Legal Services, great work getting people stable, Big Brothers, Community Action Agencies, Housing, and the great after-school program at Lilly Missions. And we funded some new programs this year, too. Nation Outside, which is a group of reentering citizens who are coming back from prison and trying to make it easier for their following reentering citizens to get housing and succeed at life. A program at Hub Moms, helping teen moms. The Save Our Youth Suspension Intervention Program. And we're actually formally funding Partial to Girls. That group that's done such great work with basic needs over the last few months is now a formal United Way program partner. So lots of new programs added into our mix of important funding, which is, you know, what we do every year with our campaign dollars. We invest in programs that are making the biggest difference in Jackson long term.
Ken, is poverty still the mission?
Yeah, we are still completely focused on building financial stability. We know that there are a lot of folks who are just clinging on right now because of the extra unemployment insurance and some extra benefits, and we don't know how long those are going to last. So I really can't tell you whether 3 months from now we'll be spending more money just on basic needs and feeding people, or whether we can focus more on housing and longer-term solutions to financial stability. Unfortunately, people need to eat and have safe housing before you can work on the longer-term things. So depending on how this virus curve goes and how much public support continues, we may have to step back more into the basic needs work. But it's all about getting people on that pathway to stability long term. That's still our mission and still the most important thing we can do in Jackson County.
Yeah, I was reading you got some help from F.P. Miller and Miller Truck and Storage. Talk about that.
Yeah, we've been distributing fresh food. The federal government called. They have a new program where they were actually getting all the fresh produce that used to go to restaurants and places that wasn't being bought. you know, the federal government subsidized their farmers for that stuff so the farms didn't go bankrupt. And then they said, let's just make it available to the food banks. So the food bank said, how many 25-pound boxes of fresh produce do you want a week? And we said, how many can we have? They said, as many as you can give out. So we started with 500 and quickly ramped up to 1,400 boxes, 25-pound boxes of fresh produce.
Wow.
That get delivered to the Boo Center every Friday. And a whole team of volunteers comes in and sorts them for agencies, and agencies come pick up anywhere from 5 to 350 boxes and then take them out and distribute them that day. So it's been a massive project, and F.P. Miller donated a forklift and an actual driver every Friday so we don't have to move 35,000 pounds of produce by hand, which we did the first week, and everyone said we're quitting if we have to do that again.
That'd be tough, yeah.
Yeah. But that's just one way of how our local businesses continue to step up for the community. We've had so many great success stories like that. But F.P. Miller,
yeah,
parked their forklift and booze.
Go ahead.
I said F.P. Miller actually parked their forklift and booze full time and has a driver there every Friday to help us. And that's just a great investment in helping us get this food out, because you can imagine how much heartache that food is saving. 35,000 pounds a week is an awful lot of food.
So, Ken, what's the future looking like for United Way?
Well, we're really excited about working with our new partners and see what they can do over the coming year. We also are setting up a mini-grant process, because we know that our work with some of these grassroots groups over the last few months with the COVID crisis has been really important and effective. And United Way didn't used to fund grassroots groups. We would only fund it big established nonprofits. But we know that the grassroots groups are doing great things, and especially in this time of a focus on equity, we want to do more with them. So we have a new process to support them and continue working with them. There's a new ALIS study that's coming out soon about the racial disparities we're seeing in the financial world, and it helps shed some light on why there are so many problems and why racism institutionally is still impacting people of color more than white people, and how we can better understand and fix that. And that equity is really going to drive our work forward, that whole focus on helping make sure people have what they need and can actually get a fair start is really important. There's a lot more we can learn and do there. So we're, in light of the police violence and all the protests going on in our community and the challenges of COVID, that's going to really define our work going forward, I think, is a better focus on equity and a better focus on how to really help marginalized populations get what they can so they can fight for what's theirs. We're seeing a lot of positives there, and we know there's a lot more we can do.
So again, hey, if you need help, I know you always talk about 211, but that is the real helpline around here.
Absolutely. 211 is always the first place to call. You can dial it anytime. It's free. You'll talk to a real person. And that self-sufficiency hub I mentioned early on that we put up that's going to be available to the public, it sort of works like 211. It's a computerized version. So when that's available, feel free to try that as well. But definitely, if you need any kind of help at all, whether it's finding food or wondering how you can volunteer or anything at all, what to do with your senior parents in California, you can dial 211. Because it's a nationwide network, they know everything that's going on and will get you to the right place.